Well, the Nationals' decision to formally scrap net zero has drawn sharp criticism from the government and the Greens. Nationals leader David Littleproud says he's proud of the decision to ditch the 2050 target, and there is, quote, a better, cheaper, fairer way to reduce emissions instead of net zero. So what do environmental experts make of the move? Professor Frank Yotso is the director of the Centre for Climate and Energy Policy at the Australian National University. He's also a commissioner on the New South Wales Net Zero Commission. Frank Yotso, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Yes, good morning, Sally.
You're someone who's worked on net zero economy policies in many roles. In your opinion, where would the Nationals' policy leave Australia?
Yes, well, so first of all, this is of course a complete hypothetical, because the Nats adopting this kind of stance at this point really doesn't mean that a future coalition government might do so. But if we take it seriously just for a minute, then it would apparently, according to what we heard yesterday, mean slower policy progress. In fact, winding back some of the already existing policies for emissions reductions. In the meantime, it would mean somehow tagging Australia's emissions target to average international progress made, et cetera, the whole thing being tailored to wind back action. And what it would do, headline, it would undermine investment, right? Much less investment flowing in the electricity sector, a creaking electricity supply system that will lead to higher prices, squandering Australia's advantage as a green energy and green commodity exporter, thereby lower GDP, lower wages. Treasury have actually modelled a scenario something like that in the net zero report. That's actually been quantified already what that might mean. I cannot see how this would possibly be to the advantage of the regional areas and agriculture sectors. In fact, quite the opposite.
Have researchers successfully quantified the opportunity cost of not going ahead with net zero?
Look, it's difficult. What we do know is that pulling back on a transition will undermine investment confidence, in particular in the electricity sector. What we've got on our hands is a massive transition away from the aging, increasingly unreliable coal-fired power plants. Renewable energy, wind and solar plus storage, are far cheaper in providing electricity into the future than maintaining that old coal-fired power fleet, and of course the emissions advantages as well. That needs a lot of investment, hundreds of billions of dollars of investment. And for that investment to flow, we need some confidence about policy settings in energy and electricity. So if that confidence is withdrawn, and there's always, of course, political risk in Australia given the history of climate policy. If that confidence suffers, then we will see less investment, we will see greater need for government.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. Sally Sara with you. You've just been hearing from Professor Frank Yotso. He's a director of the Centre for Climate and Energy Policy at ANU, having a look at the National Party's decision to dump the net zero by 2050 target. Frank, is it correct from the numbers to say that rural and regional Australia is disproportionately sharing, shouldering the burden of the transfer to reduced emissions right now?
No, I don't think it's correct to say that. These kinds of arguments feed into sort of general dissatisfaction of where things have been going, feed into anxieties about expansion of wind and solar. Certainly something that I think needs to be done better is benefit sharing for rural and regional communities, benefit sharing and expansion of renewable energy, wind towers, solar installations and so forth. That can be done. Everyone's feeling the effect of increased power prices, but those power prices have gone up because of higher gas prices. The way our electricity market is designed is so that gas prices translate pretty much directly into electricity prices. And the fact that coal-fired power stations are increasingly less reliable is also reflected in higher power prices. So there's two things going on, the shift towards net zero and at the same time these difficulties in the power sector that are of course felt in regional rural Australia as well. Now, One thing to say, if you allow me, the suggestion to somehow delete the safeguard mechanism and fall back to the government paying for land-based emission credits would mean that there'll be a lot less money going into land-based projects or, you know, forest regeneration, agricultural improvements than currently, because that money from industry will be missing. You know, whatever is still being paid to rural landholders and the agriculture industry to reduce emissions will have to come from government, and that means it'll have to come out of taxes. So taxes would need to go up, or government services would need to go down. So it's really, I find it impossible to see how that particular shift would actually lead to an improvement in economic and social conditions for rural and regional Australia.
And what's your response to the argument that, look, Australia only produces 1%, around 1% of global emissions? Why should we do the heavy lifting if other countries are not?
Oh, that's a fallacy. I mean, every nation, large or small, needs to do some of the lifting. And the smart nations design their lifting in a way to maximize national interest while contributing to global climate change solutions. That's what we should be doing. And our national interest here lies building up green energy and green commodity export industries to help backfill for the giant hole that will be gaping once international demand for coal and gas falls away. That's what we should be focusing on. We can be a major producer of green iron, of green ammonia, of all sorts of green products, including clean and green agricultural products for exports. And we should be positioning Australia to be known and appreciated as a country that pulls its weight and that is a reliable investment destination for green industries. That's where our future lies. And any hankering for last century's technologies and approaches will only set us back.
Frank Yotso, thank you very much for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sally.
Frank Yotso is Director of the Centre for Climate and Energy Policy at ANU.